Okay, well, you know, it's hard to believe that Passover is only 2 weeks away. And that must be why I feel so rushed, you know, this year, because it's only 2 weeks away. You know, the first night of Passover begins on Friday, March the 30th. We'll be celebrating our in-house Seder. And it's hard to believe that spring is just this coming Tuesday. Looking outside, you would never know that it's spring on Tuesday. It's still snowing. At least when I came here, it was snowing. And this has been a tough winter, you know, for cold and snow. And I think it's been one of the coldest and snowiest on record, though there's been others that have been, you know, very snowy, you know, but this has been one tough winter. And I can't help asking the question that environmentalists, for some strange reason, don't like to hear, is there any way to speed up global warming? And there's a little bit of a humor that I want to share regarding this winter we've had. You know, this winter was so cold that Starbucks was serving coffee on a stick. This winter was so cold we had to chop up the piano for firewood, but we only got 2 cords. It was so cold this winter that kids stopped worrying about acne. The new problem was goose pimples. It was so cold this winter that kids were using a new excuse to stay up late. But Mom, my pajamas haven't thawed out yet. I have some other interesting ones here, some pictures here. Say what you will about the South, but no one retires and moves up north. Oops, you have to see. Oh, I got some good ones here. I don't want to miss out on them. Everything, it was working earlier.
It was?
Yeah. Okay. So just, it's not true though. Who moves north when you can move south? And the phone's for you. It's my brother in Florida. I don't want to talk to him. On a positive note, I haven't seen any mosquitoes in weeks. Sorry, son, there's no app for that. Noses are red, fingers are blue, I'm tired of winter, how about you? It's spring, and it's nope. And this last one, my favorite thing about winter is when it's over. Right. So I thought you'd get a kick out of that. You know, one thing about Canadians is that even though we are known as one of the most polite people in the world, we're one of the most biggest complainers, covetchers, when it comes to the weather. We say it's too cold, it's too hot, it's too dry, it's too wet, it's too windy. And one of the first questions we ask is, what's the weather going to be like today? And we say, just a minute. Just a minute. You know, when was the last time that you remember celebrating Passover when there was still snow on the ground? Looks like we're going to be experiencing that this time. It's been quite a few years. But don't let the snow and the cold weather deceive you into thinking that Passover is a long ways off, because it's only 2 weeks away. Many of you still haven't bought your Passover tickets yet. And so I guess some of you may still be thawing out. Ticket sales are going a bit slow this year, but please don't procrastinate. You know, so I encourage you to buy your tickets as soon as possible. So we know how many people are coming. It's going to be a great Passover Seder for both of them. They're always great. You know, if you've never experienced one before, you'll really, really enjoy our Passover. It's a really an awesome experience. And it is one of God's appointed times where we are commanded to observe, you know, these appointed feasts. Okay, but enough about the snow. Let's get on with the message, right? You know, in a couple of weeks, we'll be gathering around Seder tables and hearing the Passover story. I'll go on to this next one. And remembering how God brought our ancestors out of Egyptian bondage and slavery into freedom. You know, Passover is retelling of Israel's exodus from Egypt. It's a story about freedom from slavery and oppression and of God's mighty hand of deliverance. You know, one of the traditional names for Passover in the Haggadah is Zaman Charutenu, or the season of our freedom. You know, tradition teaches us that in every generation, we must consider ourselves as having personally been freed from Egypt. So there's a sense of personal understanding as we partake together in the Passover, you know, in terms of how we have to personally experience this, you know, it's as if we've personally experienced this, because in some ways we have, because it's not only a celebration and anniversary of Israel's freedom from slavery in Egypt, but it's also a celebration of our freedom in the Messiah, and our Passover Lamb who set us free from the slavery of sin and of death. And when our ancestors left Egypt, they followed the Shekinah, the presence of Adonai in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So also when we left Egypt, so to speak, behind us, we were delivered from the bondage of sin and the spiritual Pharaoh of this world. And we are following the Shekinah, the presence of Adonai whose light and fire is within us day and night. He promises that he will never leave us or forsake us. He'll be with us always, even to the end of the age. So his spirit, his Shekinah is always with us. His presence is dwelling in our lives, and he will always be with us, even to the end of the age. You know, God's appointed times are called holy convocations, which means an assembling together of God's people. When we gather together to hear the story of Passover, we're being reminded of the great and mighty works that Adonai accomplished for our ancestors. It's a story that has been told and retold for generations. The Haggadah, which we will be reading from, it means a telling. The mean Haggadah means a telling. The telling of the story of Passover. It's a story that has been told and retold for thousands of years. It's a story of a miraculous transition from slavery to freedom, from despair to hope, from darkness into light. It's an amazing story that never gets old in the telling of it. Because, you know, I look forward to Passover every year. And even though I've been celebrating them John and I and our family have been celebrating them over 30 years, we never get tired of celebrating Passover. I never get tired of hearing this ancient story. And it's not the kind of attitude where someone, well, I've experienced Passover, I've been there, I've done that. No. It's intended to be a perpetual observance that we're to observe from generation to generation. And there's something special about observing Passover because it has so much to remind us of not only Israel's Passover, but the Messiah's Passover in our own lives. You know, it tells us in Leviticus 23. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation, and on the seventh day you shall have a holy convocation. On the first day and the seventh day. We'll be meeting on the first day of Passover, Friday, March the 30th, for in-house Seder at 5 p.m. And then we're going to be meeting again on Sunday, April the 1st, for our second Seder in the carriage house. And Leviticus 23 tells us we are to have a holy convocation on the first day and the seventh day. So the seventh day falls on April 7th this year, which is a Shabbat. And we'll be celebrating the meal of Messiah during our Oneg. And this is something that we introduced a few years ago. We introduced the meal of Messiah. And it really is, this seventh day commemorates the anticipation of the coming of the wedding supper of the Lamb. So it really has a focus on the Messiah. You know, the Haggadah has a focus on Israel to a great extent, but this particular one has a focus on the Messiah, the meal of Messiah. And it really is the focus is on Yeshua, our Passover Lamb, and the soon coming King. And so it's going to be a full week. And by the time it's all said and done, we're going to all be Sedered out. I also have three other Passover Seders that I'll be leading as well during this season. So it's going to be a busy time. And I was thinking I'm going to probably need a holiday after the holiday, right? But today is a special day on the calendar, today in particular. It's the first day of the month of Nisan, in the beginning of the first month of the year, according to Exodus 12:1. This month will mark the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. So this very day, today, is the first day of the month of Nisan. And the first of Nisan is biblical New Year's Day, which corresponds to the beginning of the month of the Exodus from Egypt, and has become known as the anniversary of Israel's deliverance as a nation. And the biblical New Year begins with the appearance of the first new moon. There's Rosh Chodesh, Nisan, the new moon. And so here the new moon. This is how a new moon looks. It's the most significant of all the new moons on the Jewish calendar because it introduces the first month on the biblical calendar and the biblical New Year's Day. Of all the Rosh Chodesh celebrations, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is today's foundational, because it represents the starting point for the cycle of all the yearly festivals, of all of God's appointed times. So today is the beginning of the whole cycle of the feasts of God's appointed times. And they reveal historic, prophetic, and messianic truths about Adonai, about Israel, and the Messiah. And it's interesting, I have here a picture here. Oh, there's the full moon there. So there's the new moon and the full moon. And there's the different phases of the moon that I thought you might find interesting. The waxing is the beginning of the month. The full moon is the middle of the month. And the waning is the end of the month. So you can see how the moon circles around the earth. And you see the new moon is at the bottom. And that's today. It's the beginning of a new month. And then it begins to make its way around. Waxing, it gets bigger and bigger until it becomes a full moon at the top. And then it begins to wane until it makes a circle around the earth. And it comes again to the end where it becomes a new moon. See, the reason it's called a new moon is because it's not visible. And the appearance of the first new moon of spring is when the waxing crescent of the moon is first sighted. It's just the beginning of the waxing phase of the moon. At the middle of the month, as I said, there is a full moon. So every 15th of the month, the moon's always full. And then it begins to wane until it becomes a small sliver at the end. And then it begins a whole cycle again. Now, biblically, the spring new moon is called Rosh Chodeshim, the head of the months. And its observance was considered the very first commandment given to Israel before their Exodus. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And Nisan is called the head of the months. It's calculated as the first of the months for the purpose of counting the days, the months and the appointed times in the calendar. It's actually a time marker. Just as like the counting of the Omer, the 50 days between Feast of First Fruits and Shavuot, First Fruits is the beginning of that counting. Until you come to Shavuot, the next spring feast. So also, Nisan is the beginning of the counting. It's known by different names and has a lot of significance. And so I have some interesting things. It's called the month of spring. Though you never think it would look like spring outside right now. But it's the first month of the biblical new year. So on God's calendar, it's not in September, Rosh Hashanah. It's in the springtime. It's the beginning of the biblical new year. It's called the month of redemption or salvation. So this whole month is a month of salvation. And that's why it was good for us to begin with the Lord's table today, you know, because on the first day of the month of Nisan, because it reminds us of our salvation. So the whole month of Nisan, it's reminds us of our salvation. It reminds us of the anniversary of our freedom from the bondage of sin. It reminds us of our new birth. And this is a month to celebrate our salvation in the Messiah. Is this particular month is a time that we can look back and be reminded of our salvation. So when you go to Israel, you know, Kim and Renee, you know, you'll be going during a very important month, the month of Nisan. This day has a special significance for me personally because I was actually born on the first day of the month of Nisan. At that time, it was April the 7th, but I won't tell you what year it is. My mom has a saying. It's a military secret. But April 7th this year falls on the last day of Passover, and that's when we're going to be celebrating the meal of Messiah. But it's also the first day of Nisan marked the day when the Mishkan, the tabernacle, was first dedicated. It's called the month of kings. Let's see here. Where does I see that? Oh, yeah. The month is known as the month of kings because the first of Nisan was counted as the beginning of the counting when the king would first begin to reign. It would be on the month of Nisan, the beginning of the month of Nisan, and it would be calculated how many years he would reign for. It's also called the month of Judah because Jewish tradition assigned the month of Nisan to the royal tribe of Judah, in whose merit both the temple was built and from the tribe the Messiah would come from. So it's also significant in that way. As I said, this is the day when the Mishkan and the Tabernacle was first dedicated. We read about that as we concluded the book of Exodus, when Moses dedicated the temple. And the glory of God came in such a powerful and awesome way that you could not even stand in God's presence. That was on, believed it was on the first of Nisan when that dedication took place. And the day when the Jews, the Babylonian exile, first began their return to Israel after 70 years of captivity, it was on the first day of the month of Nisan. And the time, it's a time when Israel pronounces a special blessing over new blossoms. So in Israel, it's a time of spring, and where the new blossoms of the fruit trees are just beginning to bud. And there's a special blessing that's recited. You know, Israel has a blessing for everything, even for sewing machines, according to the fiddler on the roof. But there's a special blessing for, you know, the blossoming of buds of the fruit trees. He says, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, for nothing is lacking in his universe. And he created within it good creatures and trees with which to provide pleasure for mankind." And then lastly, the first of Nisan is a time when most congregations and synagogues begin preparing for a Passover offering, according to Deuteronomy 16. Because three times a year, we are commanded to give a special offering during the Feast of Sukkot, during the Feast of Shavuot, and during the Feast of Passover. So we'll be taking a special offering during Passover this year. And so I really encourage you to begin to pray as to what you would want to give as a special Passover offering. We're going to be giving towards a project with the JNF, a project for children. We'll be giving more information on that. But just begin to pray for that. That'd be great. So as we can see, the month of Nisan really is a very important month, especially this first day. And since this is my first Passover message of the year, you know, it's that time of the year to wipe the slate clean and, you know, to provide some instructions on how to prepare for Passover. You know, Passover is all about change, about entering into a new season. It's a time to spring into action. The Lord wants to refresh us. He wants to revive us. He wants to wake us up from our spiritual slumber. He wants us to come out of hibernation after this cold winter, whenever it's going to end. To shake off the old and put on the new. As the Lord says, "Behold, I will do a new thing and it will spring forth." You know, in order to embrace the new, we have to get rid of the old. This is God's appointed time to begin the process of purging out the leaven from our homes. But what's even more important is that Adonai wants to remove the leaven of sin from our hearts. This is called sanctification. The word purge means to get rid of, to remove, to eliminate. It's a season to get rid of all the spiritual clutter in our lives. You know, the clutter in our homes, but more so the clutter in our lives, the rubbish and the baggage that we carry around, the bad habits that we carry around over the past year. Some of us may be carrying those around for many years, you know, that baggage, and we just can't seem to get rid of it. But Hebrews 12:1 says, "Let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Yeshua, the author and the finisher of our faith." You know, many of us carry on a lot of baggage that entangles us and weighs us down. We need to learn how to set them aside, to cast off our bad habits, those areas of sin that we struggle with, you know, our pride. Some of us have issues with pride and anger and lust, impatience, selfishness, lack of self-control, unforgiveness, anxiety, stress. These are some of the things that Russ Resnick is going to be dealing with in the Yeshiva course. Is just a lot of these issues of the heart that we struggle with and we need to be set free from. You know, we need to keep the running with endurance, you know, crucifying our flesh with his passions and desires, so we can run the race that's set before us. Always keep our eyes fixed upon Yeshua. And so don't lose sight of the goal. Keep your eyes on him. He's the author of our faith, and he wants us to finish the race. You know, we know that time is running short and that the coming of the Messiah is drawing near. So there's no time to be fooling around and being distracted by the things of this world. During Passover, we have the opportunity to refocus, to start fresh and begin new. That's why Passover is such a beautiful time of the year. It's a time when everything is beginning to come to life, when God begins to wake us up of our spiritual slumber and begin to do something new and fresh in our lives. And what we do in the natural is a picture of what we need to be doing in the spiritual. It's usually a yearly practice and actually a commandment to go through our homes searching for all the leaven and removing. It's not just a tradition. It's actually a commandment. And so this is my traditional spring house cleaning message. You may have heard the expression, home is where the dirt is. It has a double meaning, you know, but not only in the natural, but in the spiritual, we need to clean out the dirt in our lives. Those things that are unclean and unholy and hinder our relationship with the Father. There's a scripture in Exodus 12, which describes this commandment. If you want to just follow along on the screen there. So now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. Notice it says permanent. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your homes. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the last seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall have a holy assembly, and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done on them, except what must be eaten, every person that alone may be prepared by you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your homes. For whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an alien or native of the land. A pretty strong commandment. Does this still apply today? I don't think the Lord's going to cut us off. But, you know, there is a commandment that I believe is important for us to honor and observe. And that is really make an effort to remove the leaven from your homes. And this includes all the food and drink made from wheat and barley and oats and rye, or the derivatives, you know, it means all types of bread and buns and cereals and crackers and pasta, baking agents and so on. So you look at the labels on the food boxes and cans to see if they have any yeast. According to Jewish law, water is considered a fermenting agent. It's water that begins the process of fermentation. So with grain, barley, oats, and wheat, etc., it's okay to keep it in your home, but if you put water in it, like if you make porridge, for example, then it becomes not appropriate to use during Passover. We search for breadcrumbs under the cushions of our sofas and chairs, in the pockets of our coats and pants, our closet floors. We vacuum carpets and remove every trace of leaven. You know, clean out our stoves and our fridge and our freezers, the microwave, the toasters. I mean, that's a lot of work. It can be a big job. And, you know, probably most of us don't have time in the next 2 weeks to do a thorough spring house cleaning. But just think of it this way. If you're able to, just think of how nice and orderly your home will be. How it'll be free from clutter. But it's also a practical way to remind us that we are a holy people set apart. We're to separate ourselves from the corrupting influences of this world. And so when we just eat the unleavened bread in our homes, because, you know, once you've gathered all the chometz, the leaven together, they're to be stored in a sealed container, stored in the garage. If you don't have a garage or you live in a condo or an apartment, you can ask your neighbor to store it for you. Or else you can put it in a storage area in your home and to keep it out of sight. But matzah is the only type of bread that we eat during the 7 days of unleavened bread. You know, we have lots of matzah here, so we encourage you to pick up some matzah to take with you and to have in your home during the days of Passover. We have some available in the resource center. Pick some up. And so only after all the leaven has been removed from your home is it considered to be a leaven-free zone. So like I said, on March the 29th, the night before Passover is when you should have all your leaven removed from your home. And during the Passover week, there will be two onegs. We will not be eating any leavened products, such as bread and buns and pastas. So no Kaba's Bakery, for 2 weeks. On March the 31st, our oneg on March the 31st and April the 7th, we'll be eating only unleavened bread. We'll be providing all the unleavened bread for the congregation during the oneg, just so that you're aware of that. So remember, two onegs, March 31st and April the 7th, not to bring anything with leaven at all for our onegs, that we'll provide the matzah. And on, I think this says in the bulletin here, March the 28th and April the 4th, on Wednesday evenings, there will be no pickup for cobs. So those who are scheduled for that can have a break for a week. But the question you may ask is, why did Adonai give such a strong commandment regarding leaven? And what's the big deal about pizza and spaghetti and a nice loaf of challah? What's so big deal? I mean, every other time of the year, every Friday night, we eat challah, but why during this season are we not, we're supposed to remove it? It's because leaven symbolizes sin. And the scripture is very clear on that. Sin contaminates and defiles our lives. It represents a corrupting influence. The commandment to remove all leaven from our homes before Passover has a powerful message. We're to be a holy and a sanctified people. That's what we're to be reminded of during the 7 days of Passover as we separate ourselves from all that is leaven in our home and we eat this unleavened bread. It's to remind us that we are holy and set apart people. 1 Peter 1, as obedient children, do not conform yourselves to the former lusts, which are yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, you're to be holy in all of your behavior because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. It's like the influence of a small lump of leaven in a batch of dough. Spiritual leaven functions like an evil impulse within us that corrupts us and sours our relationship. That yeast works very rapidly in dough. It just takes 18 minutes, for it to put some yeast in a lump of dough and for it to rise. And yeast means sour. And leaven is used to produce fermentation, especially in bread dough. So you add lukewarm water, not hot water or cold water, but lukewarm water in dough, and it produces gas bubbles that causes the dough to rise in just 18 minutes. And that's why God compares leaven to sin, because how quickly it can rise up within us as well. God views sin very seriously. It can spread in a congregation very quickly if it's not dealt with. Just a little leaven can cause a whole lump of dough to rise. So also a little sin, if it's not dealt with, can work its way through an entire congregation, defile it, and cause discord and division in a congregation if we don't deal with sin. That's why the Apostle Paul shared an important truth in 1 Corinthians 5. So do you not know that a little yeast leavens all the dough? There's a picture of leavened bread, a beautiful loaf of challah, but then unleavened bread. It looks so different, so flat. But it's actually quite tasty when you put honey on it or you put, whatever else on it. But in any case, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 5. It says, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens a whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Since you truly are unleavened, why are we unleavened? Because Messiah's sinless nature lives within us. For indeed, Messiah, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. And this is Paul saying, therefore, let's keep this feast. And so he's assuming that we're observing this feast. And so let us keep this feast, not with old leaven, nor with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's the kind of heart. It's all about the issue of the heart. Yet last week we talked about giving. And Yeshua said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's all about the issue of the heart, that God. And so really, during the Feast of Passover, it's an issue of the heart that we need to purge out the leaven of sin within us that seeks to rise up. You know, and the pride and the arrogance that often will rise up by the things that we say. You know, there's a Jewish custom on the day before Passover in many Jewish homes to search for the last remnants of leaven. So the mother of the home will take some leaven and crumbs, and she'll put it in various places around the home. And the father and the children will go, and they'll look for, they'll have a feather and a candle and a paper bag, and they'll go around and they'll find this leaven. They'll scoop it into the paper bag. And then when they found all the leaven that's in the home, then they take the bag, the spoon, the feather, and the leaven, they put in the bag, and they take it out and they burn it. And then your home is leaven-free. And so as we prepare for Passover, my prayer is that during this Passover season, we will not only be diligent in searching our homes, and if you're not able to do a good spring house cleaning, the very most important commandment is to remove the leaven from your homes. And then we need to be diligent. And it's really intended to be a spiritual lesson for us. We need to be diligent in asking the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and purge out any leaven of sin within us. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So I really encourage you to, just not just kind of shrug off this exercise, but it's actually a commandment. I encourage you to be observant and to take it as a challenge for you to do something different this year. If you've never done this before, it's a great experience for you to go through your home and remove all the leaven from your home, and then just eat the unleavened bread for those 7 days and just reflect and remember what Messiah has done for you and that you're called to be a holy and a sanctified person. And so as you become aware of sin in your life, we need to ask God to forgive us. We need to ask Him to repent of those areas of sin in our lives that sour our relationship with God and sour our relationship with one another. And I know that there's been issues in our own congregation. We become sour in some of our relationships with each other. And, we deal with that during Rosh Hashanah in the fall season. But in the spring season, we begin this new month of Nisan. It becomes a time marker. It begins to be a time where we can begin to choose to begin this new season in a fresh and new way by wiping the slate clean, by ensuring that you have a clean heart before God and one another. And since today is the first day of the month of Nisan, the word Nisan comes from the Hebrew word which means to bud. And may Adonai begin to bud and blossom His fruit in our lives, so that we may have a flourishing and a fruitful year. God wants to bud something new in our life. He wants to bring some freshness into our lives. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be successful in our lives. But we need to get rid of the clutter. We need to get rid of all the things in our life that hinder us. We need to purge out all the leaven of sin in our hearts. And then we need to begin to begin fresh with the Lord this year. The Song of Songs says, "Blossoms appear in the land. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land." I love hearing this song. I love hearing the songs of birds in the springtime when they begin to make their beautiful sounds. And begin to see the trees budding. And I'm looking forward to that time. Whenever that time's going to come, I'm not sure. But since Rosh Hashanah and Nisan marks the beginning of a new biblical year, and there is a special blessing that we ask Adonai to help us prepare for this coming month of Passover. So let me just close with his blessing here. Rosh Kodesh Nisan blessing. Yehi ratzon milvanecha Adonai Elohim Eloheinu ve'lochei avoteinu shete chadesh aleinu kodesh tova ba'adonai nu Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. May it be your will, Lord our God, and God of our fathers, that you renew us for a good month in our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, and a good year as well. And so, Father, we come before you. We thank you, God, for this season of Passover that is just upon us. Thank you for this first day of Nisan as we begin the whole cycle of feasts once again for another year. Lord, may it be a special time in our hearts where you would begin to purge out the leaven of sin within us, that we would take this in a serious way because you look upon sin very seriously. And Lord, we pray that we would make every effort to purge our hearts, especially from the leaven of sin in our lives. And as we purge our homes, may it be a living illustration of how you want us to purge out the leaven in our own hearts so that we can really walk with sincerity and truth. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord. We pray you would cleanse us, you know, from unrighteousness, that we would sanctify you as Lord in our hearts, always being ready to give an account for the hope that is in us. So, Lord God, do something new and fresh in our hearts this year. May this truly begin and be a fresh and new beginning for each one of us, where we begin to see you bud some new things in our hearts, and they begin to bring forth good fruit. And so we thank you, God, for your love in each one of our hearts, and we pray for your blessing to be upon each one of us as we come together for Passover to celebrate this season of Passover, this one of your appointed times where you commanded us to come together. May we come with open hearts to receive all you have for us. May we be reminded of our great salvation you've given to us and how you've delivered us from the bondage of sin, from the spiritual Pharaoh of this world. And we just rejoice in our salvation. We rejoice in what you've done for us on this special day. In Yeshua's name, amen. Okay, let's stand together. And we just would invite anyone to come forward for prayer. If anyone in our prayer team is here, just come forward. And we just want to be here to pray for you. You know, if there's some areas in your life that you're struggling with, you just need some prayer. Whatever you're going through in your life, if you have sickness, God is able to heal. He wants to do something new in your life. So just come forward and just receive what the Lord has for you today and the beginning of this new season. In Yeshua's name, amen.